Corporate Cafecito, a podcast based on professional development, career growth, and respecting our cultural identity. Welcome back to Corporate Cafecito. Yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guest, your host. And today I have Emma Rodriguez Ayala. And she is one of the type of people that when someone says, like, you've got to know this person, they're talking about her. She is a lawyer. She sits on boards. She is an angel investor for our community. And she's also been someone who's been very vocal about getting other Latinos out there and visible. And so welcome, Emma.
Wow, thank you, Natalie. Also, that introduction makes me think, like, I want to meet that person. I don't think you're talking about me.
It's you. So tell us a little bit about your raíces. I know you're from Puerto Rico. My godfather's from there. He's from Ponce. Where are you from? Tell us about you.
First, I'll say something about Ponce, which is if you grew up in Puerto Rico, the Ponce people always think they're the best, but that's
okay. He is the best, right? But he's my padrino, so.
So yeah, I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. My parents are still there. We still have a house there. I was there until I left for college. And I always start this because I always say this, I am a born again Latina. I didn't know I was Latina until I got to college because I grew up in Puerto Rico where everybody was Puerto Rican. And I never, sorry, that's my phone. This might happen a bit during this.
That's okay.
I never questioned really, so could a Puerto Rican do something? Because Puerto Ricans were everything, right? The doctor, the teacher, the everything.
What a beautiful environment.
You know, that's part of the immigrant mentality. So like you can do everything. When I got to college, I went to St. Louis University in part because my dad is total lovely man, but my parents literally were like, you can go to a school in the US that has an all girls dorm and is Catholic. Three.
Here are the requirements of your Latino parents.
Yeah. They essentially were like, doesn't matter like what you study. Catholic, all girls dorm. And St. Louis University was it, and it was amazing, awesome school. And I'm so glad I went there. Huge Puerto Rican community. But when I first got there, you're filling out your forms and they say, you know, well, what student groups do you want to be part of? And somebody was like, oh, you should be in the Latino Student Association. And I literally was like, well, who are those people? And what do they do?
Who?
And why am I in them? And that was the first time I, like, anybody was like, she's Latina. I always was just Puerto Rican. And I share that because it required me to learn about the Latino experience in the U.S. pretty quickly.
And so how old were you when this happened, Emma?
17.
Okay.
Yeah. And it required me to be humble that I didn't know what the Latino experience was in the U.S. And I think that's something that sometimes people aren't sort of willing to say, like, this isn't my experience and I don't know, but I should learn it, as opposed to saying, well, my experience is what I expect everybody else to have.
Right.
And so that is why I always joke around that I'm a born again Latina. So I went like really fast. You know, because then I was like, oh, well, we do this, we're Latino community, we do that. Yeah. But it was like that first realization of, oh my God, there's people like me have all sorts of different experiences, but also I have had the privilege of spending 17 years with people who are just like me doing everything. And so that really was my first, as I call it, like inclination, that there was something in community in the US that could bring people together. And it really then solidified, I mean, I'm jumping at many years now, but it really solidified sort of being in a law firm. Once I graduated law school, it was for me really, really interesting. You know, I was at a very large, you know, global marquee firm who spent so much money and time on diversity. And like, this was before, because I look young, but it's my strong Puerto Rican genes. I'm actually old. So this is like,
mine is less La Pans Cold Cream.
Yes. Well, you and I are working it.
I know.
So back even like, you know, back before DEI was a thing, they already were pushing the bounds of diversity and all that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And they had.
And that's something you would associate with a law firm.
Correct. And I mean, I'll give them the kudos. They still use them a lot. It's Sidley Austin. But Sidley, you know, they still have this program. They had come up with this program, which was finding diverse and under-resourced college students that wanted to go to law school and paying them for the LSAT studying and prep. And they realized that's where the first time that they go off the rail is, because like I didn't study for the LSAT. I worked a full-time job while in school. And so I winged it, and thankfully I got like a really embarrassing low bar, but thankfully I got into a really good school. But I literally winged it because nobody, I have no lawyers in my family. Nobody explained to me that the LSAT mattered that much. And so Sidley had spotted that way back. They still have this program. And so I'm mentioning that because you sort of being at that law firm, first thing that I had is like they spend so much time and money on this, and it has so little impact because there were so few Latino attorneys. Like I knew they were trying, they were being innovative, they were doing all these things, and it still wasn't working. And so for me, that question always was like, why doesn't it work? Like, what is it? Why are we not getting more Latinos associates and partner at all levels? There wasn't enough. And I don't know that I was at that point in my career that I could answer that question. Honestly, I was at the point there in my career where you put your head down and you just get your work done
You're
because
like,
you
I'm
run.
here, so I need to make a, I need to do
Correct.
this.
Correct. And I, whenever people ask me, what's your advice for like young lawyers? I'm like, get your work done. You want advice? Like, put your
Like
head down.
learn,
Correct.
grow, do
Ask
it.
questions. Be curious. Get your work done. That's always what I say. And that's where I was in my career, but I could tell, and those were questions I had. And then once I went in-house to corporate America, that really solidified, because in corporate America, there's tons of work around diversity, tons of effort. There's like a real business case for it, like all the good stuff. And we still were making sort of no headway anywhere. And even then, I will admit that, I was sometimes uncomfortable with the DEI discussion because I'm in investments and have been in investments my whole career. And in investments in particular, you really don't have that much diversity. And when you are always the only in the room, particularly if you're both the only woman and the only diverse person and the only Latino, you sort of become the person that answers the questions. And that was
They're
very.
like, what do women think about this? What do Latinos feel about this? You're like, well, one, we're not all the same and we don't all think the same, but give you my opinion.
Although I always say this, if you're the only in the room and they ask you what your community thinks, at least they're asking. The worst is
True.
when they're not asking and you're the only in the room and you have to prod for the question.
Yeah.
Then it gets
No,
really
that's a good
uncomfortable.
point. Yeah.
Yeah, because then you look like the, oh, just like the DEI person, right? She's the one that always brings it up. I always tell people, spot that difference in the room that you are, because if they're at least asking the question and it's uncomfortable and you're like, sweet Jesus, do I again have to give the Latino view? At
Right.
least they're
But
interested.
at least they care. Yeah. I remember I had a budget one time, and they were like, here is, I think it was like $3,000. They're like, here's $3,000, do a Hispanic heritage event. And I was like, okay, like we're gonna have a mariachi, we're gonna have tacos, we're gonna have like pastries from everywhere else in like Latin America. We're gonna have a cafecito. I would argue Puerto Rican coffee is probably one of my
Interior.
top, yeah, like it's and that was like the greatest gift my padrino brought to our family. It's just like we want to do something, we don't know what to do. So you take this money and you do something. And I was like, well, I'm Mexican, so the first thing I think of is a mariachi. Everybody loves it. But I think to your point, it's like at least they said, here's the budget, we need to do something. Which then and then next year, I was like, okay, you know what we're gonna do now? Now that you saw like we all know what a mariachi is, we all know how to eat, land food. I'm like, but we're actually gonna go out to the market to interact with the bodegas in New York, with the carnicerias in Chicago. I'm like, so that you understand how our community spends money and what they're looking for and how to relate to us.
Yes, I love that leap because that's what I call the education leap. And it's acknowledging that not everybody has the same education on DEI. And
Right.
if people are trying, you gotta bring them along. And I know there's all, you always get the, but it's so tiring to always bring people along. Why don't they self-educate? It's like, okay, listen, in business, like I, as a GC, the number of times I have to pound my head because I have to repeat the exact same thing to people that has nothing to do with the regular business stuff. And I'm like, I have said this like 15 times. Why aren't you going to hear me? So why would DEI be any different, right? Like I
Right.
always say,
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
yeah, you just have to like continue. There is a critical difference when they ask and are curious versus when you have to push the agenda.
Right.
And anyway, so for me, like being in corporate America really pushed sort of like the, okay, I have a role I must play. And
Right.
I still kept in the company though. Like for me, it was like, I'm going to be a leader in the company. I'm going to help educate in the company. And you asked at one point, when we were chatting before the podcast, you know, what was that moment where you felt
Yeah,
like you
what was
couldn't
that
do
tipping point?
something, right? Like
Right.
you had to, I was shamed. I always say this, I was shamed. Shame made me act, which was, and my shame, I always say this all the time. So my, I call it my career godmother. It's a lovely woman who is amazing and, you know, well-known Latina and, you know, I knew from the industry and she always was advising. And I was at a point in my career where I was just trying to decide what to do. And I sort of, you know, when you get to that point where you're just like, I
Yeah.
could go multiple ways and I don't know what to do. She was helping me through that. But in the middle of this conversation, she stops and she goes, "You know what? You are a wasted Latina." And I was like, "Dude, what?"
Oh my God.
I was like,
You're
"What
like,
are you talking about?" She was like,
Okay.
"You have had," because at that point I already had been general counsel for like almost 10 years. And she was like, "You're one of the Latinas in Chicago with most seniority in financial services who's doing all this stuff." She was like, "Nobody knows you. You're not in the community. You don't, no Latino out there will say that they know your name. No Latino out there will say that they know your story. No Latino will say that they've learned anything from you."
But that changes also here.
That's, well, but you know, in her credit, she was like, investment people know you, investment people know what you do. And she was like, so you've spent all your time with the investment people, but like they don't need that. Like the Latinos need
Right. Yeah.
that. And she literally was like, okay, you know what? We're gonna change this, and gave me a 10-point list. She was like, I need you to call all these people. I'm gonna call them too, and this is what we're gonna do. And you somehow, she was like, you got to the top, like quietly. And she was like, but once you're up there, you can't stay quiet. And it was shame.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going home and being like, well, that's a little harsh.
Like, how was work? Work sucked.
Like, I get her point, which was the correct point. And literally, that was a turning point. That was it. So I followed her list and I literally was like, made all the calls, made all the connections. That's when I met Demetrio, who brought us together.
Yes.
And ever since then, right, it was this perspective of we have to do this. Like, if you made it to this level, you
Right.
have to put
We
in the
owe
work.
it. We owe it to it. I used to lead a national sales team for MillerCoors. And I was the only at that time I was the only Latina that was doing that. And I remember saying, like, why do I have to do all the women and all the Latina events? And they're like, because you are the woman and the Latina. And but it also gave me a sense of pride to be like, hey guys, like, look, I did it. You can do it. Like, it's no biggie. We just got to figure out how to get more people here. And I remember especially, you know, telling like when they would be like, we're recruiting and we're recruiting. And they're like, why aren't you hiring more Latinos? I'm like, well, I'm not beating them off with a stick. Like, we're not attracting them. So we need to be more visible so people know we're also a safe space to apply, that they can come here because people like us, we look like each other. We're here and they have a role model or at least a sense that someone has gone before them. So they're not going to be the first and only. Because the first and only is it's a heavy responsibility in our culture. If you think about like our parents, and I'm the youngest in my family. I have two older brothers, but I'm also the oldest granddaughter. So it's the responsibility. Like, I didn't get to enjoy being the baby because I also had to be the oldest and showing like, no, this is what we do. This is how we go to college and, you know, do things. And I think that that responsibility is one that we cannot take lightly.
And so it's interesting. I always felt that, which is why I always worked really hard and, you know, really always understood like if I fail, it's not just me that fails. And that feels so cliche. And I feel like the new generations are probably like, you have to let that go.
I
You know,
know, we're like,
except,
no.
but I'm like, no, that's what drove me. I was like,
Yeah.
that That, I mean, I was scared of calling my parents. Let's call it what it is. Like, I was scared.
Yeah. Oh my, okay, so let's talk about your sabbatical, because you stepped
Yes.
away for 8 months, right? And I asked you before we talked, or maybe it was longer, like, how was it telling your parents?
Scary. So my sabbatical was actually part of when I was having that conversation about what I want to do with life. My absolute favorite job ever is Ariel. But if it weren't Ariel, my absolute favorite job was when I was at Mesirow. It was my first GC job. I got to build a team. It was like my first time like flexing the executive
Yeah.
muscle.
And for
I had
everyone
done their
who's
work.
watching or listening, GC means general counsel.
Oh, yes. I was leading the executive team. It was just like a lot of firsts. And when you fill it in the firsts, it's fun, right? It's my first, I'm doing great. Unfortunately, in the alternatives industry, things go sideways often, and the business was like not doing great. And as part of the executive team, you have to take accountability for that, right? So the business ultimately ended up being sold off. It was Mesirow Advanced Strategies from Mesirow Financial. But as we were wrapping down and being at the end, I sort of was like, I didn't know what to do with life. I absolutely felt like I had PTSD from, when a
Well, yeah, it's a
business,
lot when you're wrapping up a company.
It's a lot, and it's a lot of emotions, right? Because you love these people you work with. Like, I didn't hate these people. Like, I wanted to work with them. We just couldn't. And so I had all these mixed emotions, and I also had just had a baby. And so it was one of those things where I literally felt lost. And I always start there because I didn't take the sabbatical because I was like, oh, I want to travel the world. I literally was like, I've actually never looked for a job. I became a lawyer. I went to a law firm, and then I went to my largest client, right? I had like the, so I've never looked for a
Yeah, it
job.
was like
I didn't know.
very, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the call this
The
person.
playbook.
Correct, the playbook. So it's like, I don't know how to look for a job, but do I even want to be a lawyer? I swear I was like, maybe I just like want to be a cheesemaker in Wisconsin.
I always say, like, I want to be a barista and like learn how to make fancy drinks. And then when you leave, you're done. Like, you can't,
Yes.
you check out once you leave work. And I'm like, there's such a peace that comes with that.
Correct. And so I was like, maybe I want to do that. And we were like, maybe we want to move back to Puerto Rico, right? Like all the things you explore when you literally are faced with a vacuum of like you don't know what to do. And what to me, even talking with people as I was doing, like, what do you think I should do? There's plenty of jobs that will come your way when that happens. They weren't nothing that I wanted. And I was like, why would I jump for that? I also had just had a baby, so I was like, I could just take my leave and then get some other job. And at the end, because I couldn't decide, that was my decision. I was like, okay, if I can't, and I was in a privileged position that I could make then the choice of being like, I just need to take time, get away from everything and think. So your question was, how do you tell your parents? My parents were both business people, small business owners in Puerto Rico, and had a very like tight work ethic,
Trabajamos.
like it was business at the dinner table every night. Like we all grew up working. I would say like I'm a good salesperson because I started selling when I was 5 years old. My dad would put me in retail. So like
Funny.
I know customer service. So it's really hard going to parents who work that hard their whole lives to make a fraction of what I was making and be like, I'm throwing that all away and I'm going to take a year off.
You're like,
And
what? Like, no vas a trabajar? Are you gonna do something else? What are you gonna do?
interestingly, I think they what you don't realize about parents, or maybe you do realize, but you don't realize when you're in the weeds of like your mess. They're seeing you in the weeds of your mess. And so like this wasn't out of the blue. It's not like I got hit by a car and they were surprised. This were like years they are really working hard to like work on this business, like exponentially spending less time with family because you're completely overwhelmed. Or my husband would go be with the family, but I had to be on calls, right? Like, and so they had seen me be tired, like all that. And so my expectation was that they would go crazy. And instead, they sort of listened to me. And at the end, they said, okay, will you get some sleep? That's actually the question they asked, which then made me cry.
Of course, you're almost making me cry. God, how understanding. Because, like, Usually they're like, a lo que venimos, we came to work, and even taking a little bit of time off. And my dad will always say, like, cuidado, te veo muy estresada. And I'm like, when you see me like that, don't ask me for stuff. But it is hard. And thank God that they were able to, hear you and say, like, especially if they're small business owners and they've always worked, sometimes it's hard for them to understand, like, the pressure that you're carrying. So that was like the perfect response.
Now that didn't stop them that whole year from like every other day being like, so where are you in deciding if you're going back to are you talking to people about
Yeah,
jobs?
this
So like
consistent.
exactly. So they were completely understanding of the decision, but then on the timing we're like, ooh, so this is real tight here. But no, I always say that my parents, I always laugh. They do the same thing. They're always like, you're not sleeping, you're too stressed out, like you shouldn't be working this hard, but also here's other 10 things for you to
Yeah,
do.
but also, can you help me? And the printer doesn't work. And it's so funny because, like, you think about you, right? You're general counsel, you're a board member, you're doing all these amazing things, and you are tech support for your parents if their phone does not work.
Yep.
It's like,
I have outsourced or delegated that to my husband because I'm actually as bad at technology as my parents. No, I shouldn't say that, but I in front of my parents act I'm like I'm as bad as technology. Yeah. So they will call my husband for all the tech help.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, so my parents have been supported also sometimes like every annoying parent they are,
Yeah.
a challenge to work with your sandwich between young kids and parents and that occurs to me and my siblings. But my parents have been amazing role models, and absolutely one of the reasons why I had that work ethic that was like, get your work done.
Yeah. So I think there's a soft spot in your heart for small business owners. And so I know you're part of the Angeles Investment Group, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Angeles is really incredible and awesome. And the big chunk of that is because of Adela Cepeda and David Vivencia, who have really pushed that really far. But so I still remember when we started Angeles. Angeles started, with five people who we got into a WeWork room and we were like, just get the Latinos who need money in here and like pitched to all of us at once, in part because,
Like a shark
David,
tank?
excuse me?
Like a shark tank?
But not sharkish.
Okay.
More
But
like
with nice people.
exactly, but friendly. But
Yeah.
it actually was because Marcelo DeSantis and David Olivencia had actually spotted like all these Latinos that are starting like software companies and venture like need capital, and they'll ping all these people
Yeah.
separately, but it's efficient if we get together, one. But second, they need more than just money. They need connections, they need legal advice, they need, so they had spotted that.
Yes.
And I am fairly sure that they gave me a call because they were like, so they need legal advice. Who's the Latina investments person we know?
You're
Emma.
like, boom. Yeah.
Exactly. And so they were like, so we're doing this. Can you show up? And I always say yes when Adela and David call. And so we showed up. And it really is an impressive and inspirational thing to do for two reasons. One is you do see Latinos going out and talking to other Latinos in a very different way when they ask for money, right? They can talk about
Yes.
their families. They can talk about what it means to their parents. They can talk about, like what it is. It's not just business, right? It's like La
Right.
Familia is in the room. So that's always fun. They do remind me a lot of like my parents, right? And I remember somebody brought a kid to one of the pitch nights and I was like, this,
Like, sorry. Yeah.
well, no, I was like,
Yeah.
this is the best strategy I have ever seen because I thought
Yeah.
he was going to ask the hard questions with the kid in the room. So it's like
Yeah, I
softball
was like,
questions.
you guys aren't going to be
Yeah,
the
exactly. So I was like, oh my God, everybody should bring a kid to this. Like,
Yeah.
that's the best
Are you going to
strategy.
ask me that in front of my kid?
Yeah, exactly. But it is hard-hitting questions, and it's all professionals volunteering, right? Volunteering
Right.
to help. For me, the big thing that, of course, I wanted to help in all the good things, the big nuance for me when we were sort of thinking how it would work was two things: pipelining of more people, more Latinos into investments. I mentioned earlier, very, very few Latinos in investments. And I don't know why, because Latinos love starting businesses, but somehow not
Yeah.
investing in other people's businesses, right? It's like you want to like protect your money. You don't want somebody else to blow your money, right? But But like a good investment strategy means you make money, not necessarily blow money.
You know, it's really
So
funny. I have a company that we just did some friends and family around investing. And I asked my dad, and he goes, se me hace muy arriesgado. And I'm like, it's me. Like, I'm like, and he's just like, we're just not at the age to invest. And I'm like, bah, are you serious? He goes, So he didn't invest in me.
you know, you're like that happens a lot in our community. It happens.
Yeah.
I always laugh because everybody is always like, oh, I got no rich uncle. I was like, listen, most Latinos, you don't even need rich people. They have nobody. Nobody will give them money because in the
Yeah.
Latino community, you just protect your money. You know, you put it in like US Treasuries and CDs.
My dad just put it up. He put more than what I asked him to invest in me in a CD. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. Very common. And for me, that was important. And so for Angeles, what I always kept telling the team is like, we can, for my mission focus, we can tackle two things, which is get more Latinos investing, developing that muscle memory of investing, give
Yeah.
money, right? The more you give and the more you see how it works, the more comfortable you're doing it. And the
Agreed.
second was build a pipeline of actual Latinos working in investments, which Angeles has done an amazing job of taking all these interns and Latinos who, you know, you might be at some job that you may or may not love and you want to go into the investment industry, but you just don't have the skills and don't know how. You volunteer with Angeles, you see how it all works. They put it on their resumes. They'd be like, I've been doing like due diligence on companies for a year through
Right.
this
Yeah. So
group.
now they know how to do it. They have the process down,
And they
and
can
now
find
they're,
jobs.
yeah,
Yes.
marketable. Yeah.
Correct. And to me, everybody always talks about the, oh, we're funding Latino companies, which is all great and good. Even just yesterday, I was emailing, te or texting David and Adela being like, hey, I'm making this investment with one of our companies because they track like who invests where. But to me, it's fascinating seeing the people going into investments, the Latinos.
I
Like,
love
that's
it.
what I love. I want to see, I want to be able to, you know, be at a place like Ariel, and one of the reasons why I came here, so incredibly diverse. I walk our hall and I, you know, you throw a stone and you hit a Latino or you hit a Black person or you hit an Asian person, right? It's extremely
Yeah.
diverse. I've never worked somewhere like that. And I'm like, this is what an investment company should look like.
I love
This is
it.
what investments should be like.
And I feel like the sentiment is changing. Arguably when we got here, when my parents were younger and whatnot, like there wasn't anyone who looked like them at the bank or where they were getting their mortgage or where they were trying to get a loan from, et cetera. And I think that developed this trust for like business people should look a certain way. I find that changing a lot with our generation where we want to like support each other and lift each other up and like look for that Latino in the room and be like, you're my guy. Have you seen that? Do you see a lot of like the younger generation of Latinos being more open to investing versus like kind of that old school mentality?
I do. I think they are asking the right questions, and I think we need to be better at bringing them along, right, in the journey. Because if you think about, right, if you think about the Latino demographic right now, very heavy in the under 18-year-old range, right? That's like the and the ones that are sort of at working age are still the ones of parents like yours and mine that will put it on CD. And so you have to educate them and bring them along to overcome the cultural aspect. I actually think it's the kids of the ones that are investing now that will have that easy muscle memory of I build a portfolio for my wealth growth that includes potentially owning property, whether a home or investment property, includes 10% in, you know, risky strategies
Risky
like venture
stuff, yeah.
capital, right? And includes, you know, for, making up 40% in like bonds for protection and whatever other percent in like actual equities. However people build it, that is something that's not discussed in Latino families. And so that the people who are investing right now are still dealing with their parents who never discussed that. So it's
Yeah.
like trauma we need to get rid of.
Yeah.
Not community, right? Talking about money.
Yeah. Money and medical stuff. Like we don't
Yes.
talk about it, and then I remember I had a lot of issues with my reproductive organs, and I remember going to my family and I'm like, hey guys, we're gonna talk about this right now because I was told it's genetic And I know someone in this room went through this, and now I need to know what it was. And all my aunts, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, me sacaron la matriz. I'm like, you guys all had hysterectomies and didn't think to tell your daughters? Like, you know, and so I think it's money and medical stuff. We do need to become more comfortable sharing that information because it's going to ultimately benefit all of us to have that experience or that information so we can make better decisions.
Yeah, it's anything that's generational, right? And I think one of the most beautiful things about the Latino community is the respect for older generations.
Yes.
And this perspective that we can pass down our stories and our values and that our culture is generational, right? And even things I always like even things that, you know, Puerto Ricans who were born in Puerto Rico, but whose parents are not Puerto Rican, came somewhere else. They will claim being Puerto Rican. Like they're like, we are okay in this culture, because it's a beautiful culture of sort of community. Somehow it does not do it on money. And I agree on medical, and we need to get better at that.
Yeah, we do. So I do want to just thank you for being on here. If you have any last words of wisdom, you know, this show is actually seen in 31 countries. The majority are those que hablan español. But if you have any advice or any words of wisdom that you want to share with our viewers.
Me podías haber dicho que hablaban en español. Yo hablo en
Oh,
español.
Yeah, you could do either way. It's Spanglish.
Well, I'll stick in English because it's not that easy to switch my mistake. I had come prepared. But, you know, here's sort of how I think about life in corporate America and what we do for Latinos in corporate America. We do have a duty. Like I said, I was shamed, and I agree. We have a duty to help each other. We have a duty to help ourselves, too, because sometimes we take too much on each other. But at the end of the day, we have a duty to get our job done. And what I, when I work with Latinos, I was like, you got to hit the job first, get your work done.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about what we do in the community. If I had one word of wisdom at the end for peers of mine that are Latino, I don't know if non-Latinos listen,
but they do. Yeah.
But what I would say is what I started at the beginning, ask the question, because if you have to be the person in the room that forces the question, it gets even worse and more uncomfortable. So just ask the questions and learn about what Latinos do in America.
I love it. I love it. Great advice. So, well, thank you, Emma, for being with us. And we look forward to having you join us again soon. And for everybody who's listening, thank you for joining us. Y nos vemos la próxima vez. Bye.
Thank you.